As we light the Christ candle, we remember that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And now, a responsive reading from Psalm 16. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble, in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another God multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure, for you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Good morning, Church Without Walls. I am Tim Zena Davis. I am a member here at Church Without Walls. Welcome, everyone. And I want to take this opportunity to say welcome to those of you who are visitors or newcomers with us here at Church Without Walls. Welcome to our community. We are a community that follows God, loving Jesus, the Bible, our neighbor, and the world. We're very glad to have you here. If you would like more information about our church community, you can go ahead and go to the chat. And go to admin CWOW, and you can type in your questions or ask for more information. If you'd like to get on our email listserv, go ahead and just put in your email information, and we'll get you on that list so you can keep up with what's going on with us in the life of our church. But again, if you are a visitor or a newcomer, welcome. Now, y'all thought we weren't going to do nothing in unison today. Y'all thought that. I know y'all like, Tim, we're not going to do nothing in unison. Of course, we're going to do something in unison. Today is Mother's Day. So I want everybody to unmute. And as you unmute, I want to hear amen.
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 All right. So on the count of three, in unison, we're going to say Happy Mother's Day. One, two, three.
Happy Mother's Day.
Hey, all right, now y'all can go back and mute yourselves. When I say amen, I don't want to hear an echo of amens. Today, and we want to give a shout out to all the mothers out there. We also want to give a shout out to all the women out there who are that special person and doing special things and standing alongside young people. We want to give you your big ups on this day as well. But we also know that for today, for a myriad of reasons, this may not be such a happy day. We know that for Ahmaud Arbery's mother, Wanda Cooper Jones, today is not a happy day. Let's lift up a prayer for Miss Wanda. We know that for some of us, again, for a myriad of reasons, it's a rough day. It's a tough day. And so we also want to make sure that we're lifting them up in prayer as well. So with that, I don't have any announcements today. So we are going to move along with I Wonder with Miss Sarah.
Hi, Godly Play Kids. I'm Sarah. I'm so glad to see you guys today. We really miss you.
everybody really misses you, and we wish we could be with you. I'm really proud of you and how you're doing sheltering in place. And I have something today. I wonder if you remember what it is. Can you see this? You remember what that is? If you're a Godly Play kid, you can shout it out to your family since you're muted. It's okay.
Bam!
Yeah, that's right. This is a parable. And it's this beautiful gold color. Very precious looking. And also, it has this kind of this lid. It's kind of, you got to open it. Got to figure out how do you go inside. We're going to be doing that today. So when you hear Shadi and Omid and Cyrus and their dad read the scripture, you can think about these questions. You can think, I wonder what my favorite part is. I wonder what the most important part is. And you can say, I wonder if there's a way I'm going into this parable today, or I can find myself in this parable today. All right, I miss you. Talk to you next time.
Thank you so much, Sarah. What I wonder is, how many days have we been doing this now? And I haven't been keeping track, mostly because I can always see Wes and Bora's shelter in place day number 55, I see. So the 55, right? There we go. There it is. You can see there's, 55. All right. So this has been going on a while, and that means we've had numerous celebrations already. Many of us have had birthdays. Raise your hand if you've had a birthday so far in shelter in place. Raise your hand. I mean, statistically, 1 out of 6 of us have had a birthday. There are graduations coming up, and you know, my birthday's coming up soon. So we have to figure out how to celebrate during shelter in place. So as we do our fun scripture preparation, as we break up into small groups now, would you please share your name and share how you have been celebrating in shelter in place with yourself or with other friends, or if you, how do you anticipate sharing? So what does celebration look like for you in shelter in place? See you soon.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to the sacred space of our time in the Word this morning. In our journey through Luke, I confess we've gone a little bit out of order because Luke 16 was so perfect for Giving Week. We're going to go back to Luke 15. We missed the story of the prodigal son. And it was so good hearing the Word in a sort of dramatic reading form last week with Marguerite and Juan Manuel and Melissa, that this week the Egesadi Reed family, or at least 80% of them, is going to do a dramatic reading of the story of the prodigal son. So I think you're in for a real treat. Let's hear the Word of God together.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had 2 sons. The younger of them said to his father,
'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.'
So he divided his property between them. A few days later, this younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said,
'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'
So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him,
Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.
But the father said to his slaves,
Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.
And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied,
Your brother has come back, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.
Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father,
Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.
Then the father said to him,
Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God, indeed. Now that's what I call a dramatic reading. That was awesome. I would like now to welcome to the virtual pulpit Sarah Stevens. We last heard from Sarah in a Say One Thing all the way back in Luke 8, I think, very memorably, she talked about when Jesus spoke to the Pharisee and asked him, Do you see this woman? And it really struck in my mind, way more so than my own sermons, that's for sure. Can I get an amen? Yeah, we'll get an amen. So we're privileged to have Sarah back again here in Luke 15. This is something she signed on for a long time ago. And I'm really excited about the Say One Thing word that she has for us this morning. Thank you for leading us, Sarah.
Thanks, everyone. So I think in this story, what I related to, and maybe many of us can relate to, is the younger son's desire to leave home. I think we're very aware of what we don't have right now. I think that's a feeling that was motivated that motivated that younger son to leave home and squander his father's wealth, wanting to see the world and indulge in things that he didn't have access to from home. I think it's easy for us to focus on what this quarantine has taken from us, the ability to be with friends and extended family, our usual routine, birthday parties and other celebrations, small pleasures that we've taken for granted. I found myself craving things that I don't normally crave. I've been eating potato chips. I don't eat potato chips. I've been buying too much stuff online, mostly food, and like snagging those grocery delivery openings. When we don't really need food yet, it's just like to have that sense of control over what's going on and a way to fight against a sense of scarcity and restriction. But I actually see this lack of contentment in both the younger son and the older son in this story. Neither of them are actually content with their lives. The younger son's response is to rebel. I think we see some people doing that in response to this quarantine, actually. The other son, in typical older child fashion, is the responsible one, but he also isn't content. He's bitter about not getting a fatted calf to celebrate with his friends. He's unable to find any joy in his brother coming home, who everyone thought was dead. He doesn't seem grateful or joyful at all for the blessings he has of being the son of this really wealthy and generous, loving father. I recently listened to an audiobook by Brené Brown called The Gifts of Imperfect Parenting. Brené Brown is great. She's famous for her research, writing, and speaking on shame, vulnerability, and courage. I highly recommend all of her books. This is really actually the only one that I've read fully, but I've read some of the other things she's written. One of the segments of this audiobook was focused on gratitude, contentment, and joy, and how those things have to go together. Gratitude is the antidote to this human condition of feeling like we never have enough and we're never content. We always want more, even feeling entitled to more. What we have isn't enough, and what we want can't get to us fast enough. Brené's opinion is that privilege isn't necessarily bad. Living in a time of amazing technological advancements, being healthy, being financially comfortable. What's problematic is when we begin feeling entitled to those things and discontent, always wanting more, unable to be generous or give at all. She says that what separates privilege from entitlement is gratitude. And it's not just an attitude or a feeling of gratitude, but actually a practice of it. So in her research, she said that she's never met somebody who would describe themselves as joyous who's not actively practicing gratitude. So I have to say, this isn't my strong suit. This does not come naturally to me. But I have a history of depression, actually. And when I've been in those seasons, I've tried all the things that are supposed to help. So exercise, getting good sleep, eating well, therapy. And I think actually the thing that I've been able to do that has helped the most in those times is having a practice of gratitude. So forcing myself to stop my mind from just spiraling down into everything that is horrible and identifying what I'm thankful for, ways that I've been blessed, how I've seen God. And it really is a discipline and something I have to kind of force myself to do, but it really helps and it becomes more natural with practice. So I see the father in this prodigal son story as actually the picture of gratitude. He embraces his son who returns home and has a party. He focuses on what he's just received, not on the ways his son broke his heart. I mean, definitely the father mourned the loss of his son. I mean, he really thought he was dead. He knew that he had taken his inheritance and just disappeared. I don't think we're supposed to pretend that this time that we're in is not hard. So I'm not saying like we all just need to, you know, put on a rosy, you know, viewpoint of everything. We've lost a lot. And there's been a lot of death and mourning around us, and that's hard. But I think the father in this story, and I think God, and also into gratitude for all that he has. He says, "You are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." I believe that's part of why we are invited into praising God and expressing our thanks in prayer and worship, because it brings us joy and allows us to be content in all the good things that we have in Jesus. There have actually been some really beautiful things happening in the midst of this tragedy, in this pandemic, and I've found a lot of comfort in seeing those things and reflecting on them. I think having a practice of gratitude is really important during these times. Brené Brown says that in her family, what they do is they each share something during dinner that they're grateful for as a family. And she says it sounds hokey, but her kids actually really get into it. So my 2-year-old is a little too young to do this right now, but Nathan has been teaching her how to thank me for dinner, which is kind of a big deal because she's such a picky eater right now. But she'll reach over and pat my arm and say, "Thank you, Mama, yummy food," as she proceeds to only drink her milk for dinner. But still, I think it really does help the dynamic of the meal. There used to be a lot more drama. So doing it at dinner might help. You might find that journaling about ways that you're thankful helps, or in prayer and meditation, just deliberately thanking God for ways that you've seen him during the day. So the intent's not to deny what is hard, and there is a place for mourning and calling out to God for healing and redemption. But let's not let that overwhelm us and blind us to everything we currently have that's intended to bring us joy. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sarah. And I feel like I'm really grateful to Sarah and all of you that do say one thing, partly just because it gives me new insights into the scriptures that, you know, I spend my time looking at. In fact, this week I had a whole talk about comparing the younger and older brother. And when I heard Sarah's talk that you just heard yesterday, I was like, that's awesome. So I scrapped that whole talk. And I was like, yeah, I just want to sort of amplify what Sarah's saying and think about like this whole passage from the perspective of the father. And what would it be like? And it made me start thinking about like, what would it be like to be God? And I know we can never understand God. We're a little bit like Einstein's dog trying to like understand Einstein's theories of relativity. But we do know from this passage that God is really compassionate. And we know from the scriptures that God is not only compassionate, but God is deeply moved and grieved by injustice and by pain and by suffering. And so imagine a God that is omnipotent, that knows everything and experiences everything. And can you imagine what that would be like? What the emotional state of God must be like? You know, just think about how we have been overwhelmed by the bad news that comes. Just think about how we rightly lament when we hear about things like the killing of Ahmaud Arbery, as Tim shouted out for us earlier. Those laments are real, and those laments are an echo of God's own inner life. And we know that because of God's compassion and God's omnipotence and omniscience, that God sees everyone and he sees that suffering. And even in this passage, what would it be like to have your beloved younger son leave home, humiliate you in front of the entire village, shame you, and take half of your money before retirement? Like, that would suck. And so it's so striking to me that his grief and his lament, both at the shame his son has brought on him, as well as his loss of that son, that it didn't stop his spontaneous celebration and joy the moment his son appeared. I mean, look at it in the passage there, where it says that while his son was still a long way off, good luck, John, finding that, but it's in there somewhere. While his son was still a long way off, his immediate reaction was to like go run through the middle of the village and go hug him. This is not something that rich householders did. They did not run. But it's so striking that it was clear that in that father's own emotional space, that there was full of a readiness to celebrate. There was a spontaneous celebration that happened. And I think some of us have heard this parable so many times that we forget that this is not an obvious moment for celebration. In fact, both brothers knew that if that son ever came home, that it would be awkward. That's why the son is like rehearsing, like he's got his little speech. Father, I sinned against heaven and before you, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He's all ready for the anger and the awkwardness that would rightly come his way. And his elder brother, in some ways, is rightly angry and jealous because of what the son, the younger brother has done. But none of that registers for the father. He's just full of compassion. He's full of joy. And in fact, in this text, we see the word celebration three times. I would say, and I've never really seen this in this text before, so thank you, Sarah, but the word celebration appears three times. You know, that, and I'm so struck by at the very end, there's a celebration right there. And then at the very last slide, when the father is talking to the older brother, he says, you don't understand, we had to celebrate when he came back home. And that just kind of shows another side of the inner life of our compassionate God. That in God, there is this deep reservoir of joy just ready to come out at any time. And I actually think that is why, you know, as Sarah talked about, that is why gratitude is so powerful for us. Even in a place of mourning, even in a place of loss, which is real and nobody's downplaying it, I think that joy is actually often in the very same space as loss and suffering. And I'm sure that's true in the inner life of God, as God sees both injustice, but also has this deep inner life, this deep reservoir of joy. And so I think for us, when we praise God, as we're about to do in song, as we express our gratitude, this is something that I've really appreciated Bora and Sharon in our prayer meetings during this time of shelter in place, that we've had more prayer meetings than ever. And Bora and Sharon, whenever they lead their meeting, and Lynn as well, they always have us start these prayer meetings with say some space of gratitude. And that's not just a power of positive thinking kind of thing. I believe when we connect to God in gratitude, in praise, it's almost like this reservoir of joy comes from God and pours into our own souls. So we're actually sort of metaphysically actually connecting with the joy that God experiences, and God is pouring that into us. And I think I really appreciate this passage right now, because the main thing that I've really been praying for us for as a community is that God would meet us both in our mourning, in our sadness, in our irritation, in our first world problems, and in our sort of really deep struggles. All of those things that God wants to meet us in, that those are real. And yet, this is also an opportunity to grow in a sort of resilient joy that's not dependent on the ups and downs of our external circumstances. And so I think we really see that in this passage, this reservoir of joy that's ready to break out in celebration despite the sufferings and disappointments and humiliations that have happened in their particular family, that celebration is sort of always ready to break out. And I think that's, again, a sort of resilient joy that I'm really praying for us in. In fact, I would say that for me, you know, as of yesterday, after I heard Sarah's take on this passage, I would say that the main theme of this passage for me today, and I'd love to propose to you, is just the very simple phrase, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's actually a phrase from Nehemiah 8. And I just think it's so wonderful because it gets at this sort of sense of how God's own joy, which God wants to metaphysically impart to us through gratitude, that is the true source of resilience and strength. And so that we, I think there's just an opportunity in this season as we continue to give thanks, even though it's counterintuitive, that we can experience a new sense of strength, maybe a new sense of joy. And I just think that's God's word for us today. So let me pray for us in that. And but before we do, I also just want to share, I have some exciting news that I don't want to share now. I'm going to share at the end. So at the end of our service, be ready for a quick 2-minute, really encouraging stimulus jubilee update. And I also have a funny story related to that. So give yourself 2 minutes of that. That'll be fun. Let me pray and we will continue in worship. Jesus, we call this meeting celebration. And we see in this passage much celebration. And Jesus, I pray that we would just deepen our meaning of that word in this weird virtual time. Jesus, I pray that you would show us that the joy of the Lord is our strength, that you would show us how to create a canal from your deep reservoir of joy that you always live with into our little lives, which so often lack both resilience and joy. Jesus, I pray that if there are dams or blockages or snags in the channel of joy that you want to flow to us, Jesus, I pray that you would clear them out. I pray that you would clear them out even now as we continue to worship you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So as we continue in worship, I've been reflecting on what really is the source of my joy. And I think it is this sense that God's love will never be changed. And that as I fix my eyes on the reckless and the never-ending love of God, that is where I can find strength and hope, even if I don't feel like giving thanks, even if that is a discipline, as Sarah mentioned. So as we sing today, I invite you to just think about these words and to fix your eyes on the God that loves you no matter what. So good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You had been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending
don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. So kind to me. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Turn away. God have arms to hold the hurting one in pain, and you call them back to your hand, and you call me again, and you call them back to your hand, and you call me again. Where can I run? Where can I go? Where can I hide myself from your always beautiful? Where can I run? Where can I hide myself from your never-ending love? Where can I run? Where can I hide myself from your always beautiful? Where can I run? Where can I hide myself from your never-ending love?
Good morning, church. My name is Dana, and I'm going to lead us into our time of communion, as well as introduce to you all about our prayer ministry opportunities at church today. And hopefully a second here, a very helpful screen will come up about prayer ministry. Yay, there it is. We are starting last week, we started to do prayer ministry in a little bit of a different way. And so what you'll do if you are interested in receiving prayer after church, there's several prayer ministers who are ready and eager to pray for you. They met before the service to pray for the service and to pray for you as well. And the way you would access the prayer room is in the chat box below. Our administrator, yay, hi administrator, has just posted a link for you to follow. And if for some reason you can't actually click through that link or copy it into your browser, go ahead and send an email out to prayer@nowalls.org, and they will give you an access to the link to the separate prayer room. Really want to encourage you to do that. As a person who's been on prayer ministry for many years, it is, I think, easy to feel like some things are not, I don't need to pray about that, or I can deal with that on my own. But there's something so valuable and precious about praying with another person about something that's going on for you, whatever the situation is. And as I said, there were some prayer ministry words that we wanted to share with you this morning. Although I want to say prayer for anything, whatever is going on for you or for someone you care about or a situation that you're aware of, to receive prayer for any of those things. But these were some particular invitations that we felt like God wanted to share this morning. The first is kind of that you're feeling sort of like it's nothing but a grind. There are no sort of moments like that gratitude that Sarah and Gary spoke about are really hard to access for you, is to be able to enter into a place of prayer with someone that you would have hope to be able to hope, to really believe and see that there is always an opportunity to grow and connect with Jesus. So if you're in a place where it feels like it has been nothing but a grind, I really want to encourage you to go and receive prayer. The second is that there's no sort of like destination for resilience. Like, we all have to grow in resilience. It's an ongoing journey for all of us. And no matter where you're at in terms of how you feel about that word, it's an encouragement to receive more from God. So if that's something, a word for you to do that as well. And the last one was sort of like feeling like everything is kind of like a roller coaster. There's highs and lows. There's not a lot of level. Just a person who feels like they need strength and grace for the day. So if that's for you for today, if you need strength and grace for today, to go and to receive prayer. Okay, with that, let us move into a time of communion. So if you haven't grabbed your communion elements, I just want to encourage you to do that now. It doesn't have to be bread and wine, which is sort of the traditional thing, but you know, traditional where? Traditional in America? Whatever works for you. This morning, I appreciate that Ed didn't announce what his prayer elements were, but I have this lovely, what is this, Vanita?
Rice cracker.
It's a rice cracker, but it has some sweetness anyways. And I mashed it with a little matcha tea this morning. So, you know, that is what our communion elements are here at the Vanita, Rochelle, Dana household. So, and we just really want to invite people to participate in communion who are in a place where they're wanting to say yes to yes to Jesus, yes to the body that is broken for them and the blood that is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. If that's a place you're in, we want to invite you to come in and to celebrate and to take communion with us. And here in this time, in this shelter in place time, the way we do communion is if you're in a household with other people, you serve communion to one another, but not always have those circumstances. And we know that that's true. And yet the Spirit of God is with each of us. You are not alone, no matter where you are. And so if you are in a place where you're physically apart from other people, really want to encourage you to imagine as you receive the elements from your very own hands, the presence of Jesus with you and the presence of your brothers and sisters who love you. And so with that, we celebrate, what a good word, we celebrate that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he had a meal with his disciples. And at that meal, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, all of you. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup, and he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant that is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And every time we eat this bread or drink from this cup, we remember Jesus's life, his death, his resurrection, and that he is coming again. Let us pray together. If you would, please extend your hands over your communion elements and we'll all pray together while I bless them. Holy Spirit, would you come upon these elements that were offered by Jesus to celebrate, to remember, even in the midst of betrayal. And would you make us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, would you make us resilient? Would you build up in us your joy in a way that it overflows into all that we do? And yet we know how deficit we are, so it is your joy we lean into and not our own. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Please go ahead and serve one another. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take and eat by faith and thanksgiving. Hey. Oh, there he is.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the thought it turns his face away. Chosen one, bring all of us to Jesus Christ.
His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Thanks so much, Jody. As we close now, I would like to give us a fun and encouraging update on our giving week. We have just a few hours left in our Stimulus Jubilee challenge. And so far, we've raised over $70,000. I have to say, like, last time we raised $43,000, which was a record. Now we've almost doubled it. We could get to double it. We get to $86,000, we could double it. I just have to say, I'm so proud to be part of this community at a time when so many people are retrenching, are going inward, are responding in fear, that we would respond with open-handed generously, that we would share our stimulus checks, that we would share over and above that, that we would share, for those of us who are struggling, even just a widow's mite. I just am so thrilled to be part of a community that's reaching out in this way. And so great job. And I want to say that today, if you're like me, we're still going to give together this afternoon as a family. And so if you want to give together in a giving together group, a bunch of us did that this week. We're going to do that right after the service. Just stay on and we'll run one more of them. If you would like to give as a community, as a family, you can go to our Giving Week Hub, which I think Rochelle is putting up for us now. And I just want to close our service with kind of a fun story, because this week, I was privileged, along with Bora, we both did routes of delivering groceries for Achieve Academy families. So Jess Chan works at Achieve Academy in the Fruitvale neighborhood of Oakland. And a lot of those families, they may or may not have papers. Many of them, some of them don't even speak Spanish. Some of them speak, no, they don't speak Spanish. They speak Hmong. They're from a minority ethnic group in Guatemala. And so it was really a privilege to go around and just deliver like six bags of groceries. And I got to use my Spanish again, and it was really fun. And it just, I think the real joy was actually having positive, joyful interactions with strangers. I realized, like, oh my gosh, I haven't had a stranger smile at me in 2 months, right? Everyone looks at me like I'm a potential source of contagion, which I am. So it was really nice to bring groceries and people would be like, oh, thank you so much. But my favorite interaction was actually a virtual interaction, because one family wasn't there. And so I just left the groceries and I sent a message in Spanish saying, you know, here are some groceries from Achieve Academy. The chicken is de-thawing quickly. Make sure you put it in the refrigerator. Dios le bendiga. God bless you. But instead, my autocorrect changed it to Dios me bendiga. So what I said was, here are some groceries, don't thaw the chicken, God bless me. Like, as if I'm this sort of great, God bless me for giving you this great thing. So it was a little embarrassing and I tried to correct it, but I never heard back from them. But in the end, I actually think there is a prophetic truth in that, right? That as we give together, it's true, God blesses, Dios le bendiga, but also Dios me bendiga, that God blesses us as we give. And so thank you so much for sharing in that blessing. And speaking of blessing, let's end our service this week by unmuting ourselves, and we only get to do this two more times because it's almost the end of Eastertide, but let us rejoice, let us strengthen ourselves in the joy of the Lord through remembering the truth of the resurrection. Let's say this together three times. Let's stand if you can. Christ is risen.
Yes, indeed.
Christ is risen.
Yes, risen.
Christ is risen.
Yes, risen.
Hallelujah.
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 Forth or stay home in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Speak to God.